Father, we thank you for the rain that's outside. We thank you, Father God, for everybody that came out in the rain to sit in your presence, to be fed fresh manna from heaven. We thank you, Father God, that for the overflow that we're receiving from your miracle service. And Father God, we just thank you for your angelic hosts that are walking to and fro throughout this sanctuary right now. And Father, we just love you, and we just want you to do what you want to do right now. We just give you the floor. Have your way, Father. Have your total and complete way, Lord. There is a new wave of glory that's going to hit this nation. And this glory will go on and on and on and on. It is never going to stop. This new wave of glory are going to bring my children up into the heavenly realm, where they will sup with their Father and receive all that they have need of. I have chosen you people to carry my glory. I have chosen you to come up higher with me. I have chosen you to sit in heavenly places with me. You are in training this week. And when the week is over, you will be a vessel of honor that I can place my glory in and send you forth as glory carriers. Do not take anything lightly that's going on this week, for I, the Lord thy God, I am in total and complete control. I am setting in the heavenly realms, and I am giving the commands of what I want done. Rest assured in me that I have all things in your lives under control. And I have been working behind the scenes, and what I've been doing behind the scenes, I'm now going to bring to the forefront. You are my children. You will remain my children. And through each one of you, I will do a great and a mighty exploit for my heavenly kingdom. Take heed this day that the enemy also knows what I am doing this week. And he will fight, and he will fight, and he will fight. But you already know that you have the victory. Do not allow him any space in your mind or in your life. Stay in total victory. Rejoice in me always. And then again I say rejoice. Because it is in rejoicing that the enemy is defeated. This is why I wanted you to be happy. I wanted you to sing, and I wanted you to dance and rejoice in me during this week, so you could show the enemy that he is already under your feet and he is already defeated. So, little ones, rise up this day in a new status with me, your Father, and understand that I am going to be sending you on your assignments, and your assignments are yes and amen. There have been some curves in the road that you ran into to try to take you out of my will, but I have straightened out those curves, and I have laid the path before your feet once again. Stay on that path. Do not allow the enemy to ever again take you off of that path. I've heard your cries of repentance. I've seen your pillows soaked with your tears. And I say unto you this night, all is well, all is well, all is well. I am in control, and all is well. Go forth with fortitude. Go forth with gratitude. And know that I, the Lord thy God, I will always keep my hands upon you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never reject you. You are my sons and you are my daughters. And I am well pleased with you. I didn't say that you have attained the heights of my glory that I desire at this given time. But I am well pleased with how you've been fighting and going forward in my might and in my power. Now is not the time to quit or to give up or to sit down. Now is the time to keep trudging forward, knowing that you are in the victory circle and you are getting ready to go on one of the biggest whirlwind rides with your Father that the world has ever seen. So rejoice in me and know that I am God always. And when I just saw, when Erie said always, I saw a piece of paper and he was signing it, your Father. I've never seen that before. I thought that was sort of neat. Amen. He signed your little letter, your Father. All right, this miracle service that we're in is called the Father's Glory. That's what he named it. And what God has been teaching us is how to be glory carriers. And today is I'm going to be talking about God's love. And we need to understand that as children of God, we need to stay well balanced. We can't go off the deep end in either way. And the body, problem with the body of Christ is you're not well balanced. You don't know how to love in a balanced way. You're either too far to the left or too far to the right. You don't give anybody any space to grow. And therefore, they stay bound. And you wonder why. We have to learn to love unconditionally. And if you're walking in fear of anything, especially during this Halloween season, then your love is not perfected according to the Word of God. We don't walk in fear of anything because we have power and authority over the enemy. We were talking before service, and you know, people get walk in fear over a little Halloween design somebody might have in their house, but yet you'll go and buy clothes that were made overseas that we know for a fact they're cursed over as we're making them, and you wear them and never think anything of it. So you're not balanced, and you need to get balanced out. If you buy an item for in your home and it belonged to somebody else before you bought it, pray over it. That's all you have to do. You don't have to go burn it. Pray over it. Anoint it with oil and then just move on. Let's not get stupid here. Yeah, this is why exorcisms are getting a bad name, because the body of Christ is going stupid and just looking at everything as a demon and don't touch this, don't do that, don't do the other. And because with all the teachings that we've given you, you haven't really grasped the true meaning of what we've been teaching you. All right, in the same way with God's love. People don't understand God's love, so they go off and do dumb things, and they think because they've really committed some really bad sins that God can never love them, but that's not true. All we have to do is repent according to the Word, and God forgives us, and he loves us, right? So we're going to be happy, right? All right, let's talk about the Father's glory, the manifestation and revelation of his love. This is why we hung, Nancy and her group hung the hearts and everything up here. That's God's love hanging over your head. Amen. And I just want you to know that God's love is, we don't even have to have that. His love is just here. His love abides within his people. And God loves us desperately. And if you think about, I was reading about the fires out in California again and how people are losing all these multi-million-dollar homes and they're just sitting there crying and grieving. And I just thank God that we're not there. I mean, I do pray for them, but we thank God that we're not there. And we don't care who started the fire. It's there and it's destroying and it's destructive. I don't know why there's so many fires in California. I haven't prayed about it. But I'm glad I don't live in California. Amen. Because they've had their share of mess there. All right. We're talking about God's love. The Hebrew word for glory is kabod. It basically means weight. In science, it would be the mass of an object of matter. It is the substance of a person or thing. For God now, it is who he is, his character and power. The glory, which is kabod, is who God is, it's his character and his power. And 1 John 4:16 tells us that God is love. Love is God's character and power. God's glory manifests and reveals His love. All right, now, so this, we're supposed to be picking up the characteristics of God through this 6 weeks, right, or 6 days. So if God is love, and you profess to be a child of God, then why are you not loving everyone? Why are you shunning people? Are you listening here? We're supposed to love the unlovable, right? The body of Christ isn't following that commandment. They are not loving unconditionally, and they're judging. And so you, if you don't have the complete, total, fire love that we talked about last night, and you're judging and shunning people, then you cannot be a glory carrier. It's just that simple. Moses asked God to see his glory. This was God's reply to Moses in Exodus 33:19. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now I have another message where I'm going to tell you what that means, all right? But this is what God said to Moses. God told Moses to stand on a rock that was near him. This symbolizes Jesus the Christ, our rock. And when I typed that, this rock that sits here on the floor came, you know, I saw it, and God said, when they stand on the rock, they're standing on me, and that's why miracles can happen in their lives. Are you understand? You know, that just excited me a little bit. That's just a rock I got in a stream in Pennsylvania and carried it down here and stuck it in my flower bed. All right, but it's still the rock. And the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 33:21-22, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Now, he told him to stand on the rock, but then he said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. Now, if it was just a flat rock, that wouldn't work, would it? There's no cleft in a flat rock. Now, to stand upon the rock is symbolic of coming to Christ and putting your trust in Him, your weight upon Him. As God's glory passed by, He put Moses in the cleft of the rock, symbolizing to be in Christ. It is God the Father who positions you in Christ, adopting you as His child. This is the place where God's glory is revealed and received, the place we receive manifestations and revelations of the Father's love and power. Now, where is the place? It is in the cleft of the rock, which symbolizes to be in Christ. When you're in Christ, then we receive manifestations and revelations of the Father's love and power. An unsaved person can't feel that. Some people sitting in the body of Christ can't feel that. Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Now, read that. What did he tell Moses? I'm going to show you all of my glory. So, and the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That's his glory, all of his glory. So we are supposed to be walking in these fruits. The word merciful is a Hebrew word, rechem. I hope I got that right, Christopher. It means to be full of compassion. Now, this is the first word that God used to describe His glory. It reveals much about God's glory and character. I believe it reveals the highest form of love, the kind of love God is. So, do you have the agape love that God had? Can you love those people who have come against you and who have reviled you? I really want you to think about this. So the word rechem is The word merciful, I'm sorry, the word merciful is the Hebrew word rechem. It means to be full of compassion. Are you full of compassion? Yeah, think about this. Are you full of compassion? This is the first word that God used to describe his glory. So, you have to be full of compassion for everybody, not just the ones that are nice to you, but the ones who revile against you, you despitefully use you, you know, really do dumb things to you. You have to love them too. You have to have compassion for them and just thank God that you're not in the situation they're in that makes them do the things that they do. Rechem is only used in reference to God. I believe that this compassion, which only comes from God, is the agape love, which is described in the New Testament. Because of the new covenant purchased by the blood of Jesus, we can now experience this holy love of God through the Holy Spirit. And you read that in Romans 5, 1 through 5, and we'll read that tonight. But this agape love is what God has been trying to get this church to walk in. He's been trying to get us to walk in the fullness of his love and to understand. But I have found out that a lot of people are not walking in the fullness of God's love. They're walking in the fullness of fear. They fear every little thing that comes their way, and therefore you are not perfected in love. Love casts out all fear. And I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm really fearful. Then you are not walking in the love the way God wants you to walk in it. The word gracious in Exodus 34. See, I'm really emphasizing this because you want to be glory carriers, so you have to have the attributes of God in you. And if you don't have these attributes, then you can't be a glory carrier. And God just told us you're going to be glory carriers. So I'm believing, because he said that, that you're going to understand what he's saying to you today, and you're going to pick up this attribute of love, and the devil's not going to be able to come against you anymore. The word gracious in Exodus 34:6 means to show favor, mercy, kindness, and forgiveness. Long-suffering means to be patient. We aren't very patient. We aren't very long-suffering, are we? Because our patience gets worn thin real quick, doesn't it? Now, goodness means to show loving kindness. Truth means to be faithful and trustworthy. Let's get back over that. The word gracious in Exodus 34:6 means to show favor, mercy, kindness, and forgiveness. Long-suffering means to be patient. Goodness means to show loving kindness. Truth means to be faithful and trustworthy. All of these characteristics are seen as characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13. They are also seen in the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22, which says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, period. And the word fruit in Galatians 5:22 is singular, and there is only one spirit of the fruit, which is love. I don't believe that, but that's what some pastors, you know, some theologians say. Because I've been really studying this because I have to teach it, and I just don't agree with that. So all the other, but I do have to agree in one thing. If you don't have love, then you can't have the rest of the fruit. All right? So you have to have the love to have the rest of the fruit going in you. All the other traits mentioned are characteristics of love. Oh, I wrote that down. Likewise, in Exodus 34:6, the first thing that God reveals about his character is that he is rechem, which is full of compassion. All of the other characteristics of Exodus 34:6 are contained in this compassionate love of God. In Exodus 34:7, God reveals that he is just. Even justice is a characteristic of love. Love must be fair, and God is a great equalizer. Love must be fair, and God is a great equalizer. Isaiah 40, verse 4 and 5 says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. When we look to Jesus, the knowledge of the glory of God is revealed. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's God who gives us that light. The signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus did were manifestations of the glory of God, manifestations of his love and power. If you want to walk in the miracles, then you're going to have to quit judging other people, and you're going to have to get this total love walk down pat. You're just going to have to, or God can't use you. That's just the way it is. Everybody wants to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles, but they don't have to want to pay the price that it costs to do that. And we're going to have to pay the price. We just are. And John 2:11 says that this beginning of signs Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The needs of people are an opportunity to reveal and manifest God's glory, his compassion. When Jesus heard that, he said in John 11:4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Why? That the Son of God may be glorified through it. You're going to have to, whenever somebody's down and out, you cannot turn your back on them. You're going to have compassion for them. You're going to have to pray for them. You know, as I look around in here this morning, a lot of you were messed up when you first came into the church. But God, through many, many deliverances or exorcisms, got you to the place you are today. It's not up to you to judge why somebody else has to go through as many exorcisms as you did, which you have forgotten about. It's up to you to love that person and understand what God's doing in their lives. All right? And like God told me last night, he said, daughter, remember now, I told you, you're no longer doing deliverances, you're now doing exorcisms. And so when you're doing exorcism, you're fighting the biggest devils in hell. And it's harder because they're rooted deeper. So what we're dealing with now with people is just not little demons. It's the biggest demons in hell. And they're trying to destroy. And they're not going to, once they're in somebody and embedded, they're not going to come out easy. You're going to have to fight them to get them out. But while you're doing that, you're going to have loving compassion. I heard one of the deliverance team say last night, they felt so bad with what the person was going through when he was going through deliverance. It was sad to watch them. It is sad to watch how the devils can torment and twist people, and how they can destroy their lives, and how they fight before they come out, because they found a good home there, and they're not willing to leave. Matthew 14:14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So I said before that as Jesus moved with compassion, the power and love of God was revealed. Then Matthew 14:14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Jesus promised that he would continue the works he did on earth, and even greater works through those who believe in him. The other night, after service, I went home and I was thanking God for what he did. And I just saw some things that really, God really needed to move on. And I was really crying out to God and said, God, this really has to be, these people have to be fixed. He said, are you willing to pay the price? Are you really willing to pay the price? He asked me. Because to do what you're asking me to do, you're going to have to suffer some more. And I said, God, whatever it takes to set the people free. Are you understanding that? I just thank God I was never bound. And if it would have been bound and God set me free, I thank God for that. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We were supposed to be the last 40 years doing the same works that Jesus did. And now we're in this new dispensation of 40 years. Now we're supposed to be walking in the greater works. But the only way we can do that is by becoming glory carriers. And none of you in here can say that God has not been dealing with you to become a glory carrier. You can't say he's not been trying to change you and rearrange things inside of you. And you can't say he hasn't been trying to get you to carry the attributes of God, because he has. I mean, you can say it, but it won't be true, all right? Because God's really been dealing with us. Now, if we stay focused on Jesus' commands and move with his compassion, we will manifest and reveal the glory of God on the earth. If we stay focused on Jesus' commands and move with his compassion, we will manifest and reveal the glory of God on the earth, and in greater ways, so that God will be glorified. In greater ways. You know, if you really sit down and think about history, you know, church history, way back when they used to have these big revivals, you know, the revivals would come and they have big revivals, and multitudes of people were saved. And then it sort of waned down where, you know, just a few people get saved. And now we're back to the place where God's going to bring multitudes of people into the house of God and get them saved at one time. And this is where we're at. And back then, the revivalists were glory carriers. They were sold out totally and completely to God. And all the gifts, attributes of God were manifested in them. And that's why God could do what he did then. And now he's trying to do it again. To glorify God is to extol or praise his attributes. His holiness, faithfulness, mercy, grace, love, majesty, sovereignty, power, and omniscience, to name a few. Rehearsing them over and over in our minds and telling others about the singular nature of the salvation only he offers. So all these attributes that we just said is what we have to be carrying. And as we look at them, sometimes we might say, well, God, I'm lacking a little bit in this area. Or I'm lacking a little bit in that area. God, just take me to the fullness of this thing that I'm lacking. You know, don't stay lacking. Tell God you want the fullness of everything that he's doing. And Matthew 10:7 says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is God speaking to Jesus speaking to his disciples. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, last night I was talking to somebody after the service. They waved me down and they said, when you came towards me, and I said, they said I was in fear because I've never seen anybody slain in the spirit. And I was afraid if you touched me, I'd go down too. And I didn't know what was going to happen to me if I was laying on the floor. And I said, that's fine. Didn't bother me any at all. And then they said, I sure wished I would have went up though, because now I think I missed out on something. But it's a shame to be that age and never seen anybody slain in the spirit. Right? So then the person said, this really scared me, but I'm okay now. See, so you don't know what people have experienced, what they haven't experienced. So don't judge them. You know, don't judge them. First time I was there, when I was born again, I first saw it, I thought, I wonder what they're doing on the floor. Next thing I knew, I was right there with them. You know, then I knew. God just come and smacked me good and knocked me down. Amen. I ask and I received. All right, as ministers of the new covenant, we are to reveal God's glory, his compassionate and powerful love to a world in need. As ministers of the new covenant, we are to reveal God's glory, his compassionate and powerful love to a world in need. And Isaiah 58:6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, if you do all that, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. If you do all those things, but do we willingly open ourselves up to do all those things? I want you to think about this. And that was in Isaiah 58, verse 6 through 8. In Isaiah 6, 3, and one cried, and these are talking about the angels, and one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord right now, according to Isaiah 6, 3, what the angels were saying, but most people do not know it yet. Come on, and we're talking to the church. The church doesn't know it yet. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "However, the time is coming when the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth." And so what's God doing with us during this 6 days? Giving us knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So God's going to be teaching many, many people about the glory, about his glory. Most of the known universe is made up of unknown substance that scientists call dark matter and dark energy. They call it dark because they cannot see it or detect it with any scientific instruments, but they know it is there. And it has mass because they can see the effects of it. It is interesting that this invisible substance in the universe makes up most of the mass weight in the universe. It holds celestial bodies of the universe in place, and it also causes the motion of stars, planets, and galaxies. We know God's in the room. We know the holy angels are here, but we can't see them. We just know they're here. We just know he's here because he spoke to us, right? Jesus is called the brightness of God's glory in Hebrews 1:3, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The word upholding means to carry or move. It is Jesus that holds together and moves all things in the universe. In Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and their firmament shows his handiwork. The unknown substance that holds this universe together is the brightness of God's glory. Man's natural tendency is to label the unknown and the supernatural as dark. When Jesus walked the earth, many people thought his power to heal people and the signs and wonders he did were accomplished by Satan's power. It is still true today as God's glory is being revealed in the earth through his servants. Many people are fearful of it. People are being healed, set free, and demons are being cast out. Signs and wonders of God's love are happening. They're happening today. However, many are quick to judge that these miracles are the power of evil, not manifestation of God's love. It is true that we are in a time of increasing darkness on the earth. However, at the same time, there is an increase in God's glory being revealed through his servants. I really desire with every fiber of my being that every one of you in here today, that you will become a glory carrier for God, and that you will go forth manifesting God's attributes, and you will see many signs, wonders, and miracles occur. It doesn't matter where you're at. Now, God said that we were going to be so, that the glory is going to be so strong that when we went into a hospital, we were going to empty out the hospital room. So it says, however, at the same time, there's an increase in God's glory being revealed through his servants. And Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And that's when God gave that to us. And he was telling us that day and in that year that the glory was on us. It just wasn't on us in its fullness yet, but what we did carry the glory. Now, faith in God means to trust him. When supernatural manifestation of God's presence happen, there are two types of fear that a person can have, depending upon what is in the heart of the person. Exodus 20, verse 18 says, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. They trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" They're scared to death of God. See that? And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." In other words, God wanted the people to fear God, but not fear anything else. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Now, unholy fear causes you to distance yourself from God. Holy fear causes you to purify yourself and come near to God. Now, we know for a fact, through the years we've been in here, people have come in here, deliverances have happened, and people have been slain in the spirit, and people have been jumping and dancing, and people say, I can't come back here again. I'm scared of what you guys do. And they don't come back because they didn't understand the moving of the spirit. Instead of staying and finding out about the moving, they left, which is fine, you know. Those who know God through experiencing his love will press in past their fear into the glory of God's presence. Those who know God through experiencing his love, you have to experience his love, will press in past their fear into the glory of God's presence. At 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out fear." I'm sorry, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if you're fearful of a pumpkin or a black cat or imitation witch, then you're not perfected in love. If you're fearful of somebody being slain in the spirit or somebody on the floor screaming out demons, then you're not perfected in love, because love casts out fear. So that was 1 John 4:18. You need to go home and read that over and over again till you get that down into your spirit. God's love is a consuming fire. In Exodus 24:17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. I want to stop and give you a little bit of a testimony. One time, you know, I was in Pennsylvania on the weekend. I come home. I walked into my home, and here was a lady sitting on my sofa with her feet propped up on my coffee table, smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer in my house. And I said, "What do you think you're doing?" "Well, Teddy's fixing my car and I'm waiting." And I walked past and went into the kitchen, come back, and I said, "I want you to take your cigarette, your beer, and your feet and get out of my house." And she says, "What?" And I told her again, "Do you know who you're talking to?" I said, "I don't care who you are. You're not doing those things in my house." So she went out. She said, "You'll be sorry." So she went out. And my daughter could finish working on their van. Her and her husband, the lady's husband, working on her van. She came in. She said, "Mom, do you know who that was?" I said, "I have no idea who it was. But she's not going to smoke and drink in my house and put her feet on my coffee table." He said, "She's a witch. And her van is her place where she practiced her witchcraft." And she said, "I'd be sorry if I ever did that." Well, the lady died a year later. I said, "I'm not scared of her. My God's greater than any witch. My God's greater than any Jezebel." She died. I didn't. I won't say that the witches aren't after me, because they are, but that doesn't bother me either. We know for a fact that the witches around here have a meeting once a week just to pray against this church. We know for a fact the house across the railroad track had all kind of masks and voodoo stuff, putting voodoo against the church. The church hasn't fallen down, even though it should, because it's termite eaten. It hasn't caught in fire because God's glory is in there. They can't touch it. I don't fear those type of things because I'm a child of God. And I'm not going to run for the devil. I don't care who he is. Are you understanding this? Come on. You don't have to fire witches. You don't have to fear witches, Jezebels, or witches, or anything else. If you're God's child. Exodus 24:17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. There is something else that happens when we behold God's glory. It's called transformation. Transformation can be both painful and wonderful. Some of us know we've been going through the painful part, right? I'm waiting for the wonderful part. There are things in us that are consumed as we behold God's glory. The things that remain are refined and purified. People will sometimes turn away from the glory of God because they are afraid to let go of things that cannot survive the glory. All right, so when I started studying about this glory before, you know, about God's glory, before I started, the meeting started, I said, God, I required a spirit of anger. I said, I get angry at the sin in my home. And as I studied about God's glory, guess what? That anger was consumed. Because God didn't want me, I didn't want to be angry. I asked God, please, to take it. And so he took it. And now I can face those problems without being angry. I can face them with the sureness of heart that God is with me. And God is in control. Are you understanding this? So whatever it is inside of you, God's glory can consume it. People are also sometimes afraid of letting go of their identity and becoming a new creation. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, to be transformed by God's glory is sacrifice. All right, you're going to have to give up a whole bunch of junk that you're doing. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for our light affliction, light, remember that word light, which is but for a moment, guys, breath, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So you don't look at what's making you be stupid. You look at what's not seen, and that's Jesus. Now, to be transformed by God's glorious sacrifice, in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies and compassion of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See that? Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Formed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we are focused on Jesus, the veil of our heart is removed so that we can behold the transforming glory of God. Y'all know my story about I had a wall built around my heart. I've been hurt so much. I said, nobody's going to ever hurt me again. You can only come this far and then you stop. I'm not letting you in to my inner circle. And when I was born again, God told me in order for him to use me, you know, I had to let him tear down that wall. And I said, I don't want to ever hurt again. He said, your heart's going to have to be open to be hurt if I'm going to use you. So I watched as he crumbled down that wall. And then I lived hurt after hurt after hurt. But knowing that God was with me and God was for me, not against me. And that I couldn't build a wall because I wanted to be used of God. You see that? You're going to be hurt. You're just going to be hurt. Because life is life. And just because you're a child of God doesn't mean that you can avoid living life. You have to live life. Okay, 2 Corinthians, is that where I'm at? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is a spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy and compassion, we do not lose heart. We are transformed from glory to glory, from one manifestation revelation of God's love to the next. And I remember a couple of years ago when God kept saying to us, he said, I'm taking you from glory to glory. He kept telling us that. I'm taking you from glory to glory. And I didn't really understand what he was talking about to its fullness then, but I do now. He's saying, I'm going to take you from where you're at right now, and I'm going to take you to a height that you never thought you'd ever go to. And when I'm finished with you, you're going to be just like my son, Jesus. Amen. Notice that we behold the glory of God through a mirror, and that's what it said there, right? That is because the glory we see is what is reflected from our own heart. That is why man can look into the heavens, which declare the glory of God, and only see dark matter and dark energy controlling the universe. And the moon is like a mirror. And one night I stepped out of my house and I looked at the horizon. The moon was very large and I could see the whole outline, but only a tiny slice of the moon was reflecting the glory of the sun's light. The Lord instantly spoke to my heart and said that is how much of my glory you reflect. I understood that I had only tasted a tiny amount of God's glory, but there was so much more he wanted to reveal to me. So see, some of you in here, you think you've attained and you have not. And I'll tell you, there's many times I go before God and I cry and I say, God, I just did not know that I didn't know the things that you wanted me to know. You know, that I thought I knew everything he wanted me to know. And whenever you find out you don't, you sort of feel foolish. And because, you know, you just were not really seeking God's face hard enough to find out what was really going on in your life. Now, the moon reflects the light of the sun. However, when the earth is blocking the sun's light from shining on the moon, there is a shadow instead of light. The things of the physical world can block our perspective of God's glory. The things of the physical world can block our perspective of God's glory. Only when we focus on Jesus can we look at the glory and with an unveiled face. Only when we focus on Jesus can we look at the glory with an unveiled face. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has to reveal the glory to you. You're not going to be able to dig it up. You're not going to be able to make it up. God is going to have to reveal the glory to you. See, we as flesh, we think we know it all. And we just want everybody to think that we are all that and then some. And we try to explain something and we can't explain it unless God is telling you first. And I'm telling you here, as I said here today, that God's glory is going to be totally awesome when it's completely manifested to each one of us. And I'm hearing God say each one of us, it will be manifested to us in different ways and in different weightiness. It depends on how sold out you truly are to God, the weight of the glory that you'll carry. We are called God's vessels of compassion who were created to receive revelation of his glory. And Romans 9:23 says that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy or compassion which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. God has predestined people to carry the glory. But those that he predestined to carry the glory, he also knew that they were going to buckle under his commands and do the things that he called them forth to do. All right? Jesus has given us the same glory, the same love, which the Father gave him in John 17:22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. So Jesus carried the glory, and Jesus gave that glory to us, according to the word, right? Why? That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And God, how many of you have God said, I knew you before the foundation of the world? And at that point, you were handpicked to be a glory carrier of God. God knew all the side roads you were going to go down through life. He knew that. He knew exactly what you were going to, and all your negative side and all your positive side. But still, before the foundation of the world, you were appointed to be a glory carrier, because he knew that he was going to be bring you through, that you were going to follow him and do the things he called you forth to do. All right, the glory of God in the Father's love is now within us, because of the new covenant. This glory unifies Christ's body of believers and sanctifies us to be God's holy habitation. In Ephesians, the last scripture we read is Ephesians 3, let's go to 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It all boils down to the love. The love. In the passage above, we can see that it is according to the wealth of God's glory that we are strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. Receive Christ living in our heart by faith, and we become joined to the source of true love. We then go to attain what all the saints have attained, and that is knowing God through experiencing his love, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. You have to experience God's love first. That's your first step before you can receive anything else from God. So if you're sitting here today and you think, well, God doesn't love me. Yes, he does. That's the lie the devil's been telling you, and you need to quit listening to that lie. God does love you. He does. You're special in his sight. It's the devil who doesn't love you, the devil that you serve. He doesn't love you. He hates you with a passion. And he knows you're going to give your heart to God one day, and he's trying to take you into his kingdom through death before you can do that, so he can torment you forever in hell. The glory of God is a manifestation, revelation of his love in so many ways. We need to have that revelation and that we need to have the manifestation of God's love abiding within us, so that I don't care where you go or what you come upon, they're going to see God's love in you, and they're going to want what you have, and what you have is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right? And whenever they say, what makes you the way you are, you can then start telling them about Jesus and telling them that they can have the very same thing that you have, and do they really want it, all right? Don't ever think that you've fallen so far that God can't pick you up again, because that's a lie from the devil too. I'm hearing God say that he has you imprinted, I-M-P-R-I-N-T-E-D, on the palms of his hands, and he is never going to drop you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And he's saying his love endures forever and ever and ever. And you know, if we can't love the unlovable, then Jesus can't use us. If we can't forgive those who have done evil against us, then Jesus can't forgive you. If somebody's hurt you, is it worth going to hell for them? Well, then we need you just to forgive and forget and go on, right? We can't hold on to all these atrocities that we're holding on to. We have to let go of them this morning. And if you really want to receive this love that God has. It's love that you can take and share with the world. Then the altar's open for you this morning because God wants to give you that precious gift of love that he has, which is himself. He just wants to pour his self into you this morning, and himself is love. Unconditional love. Love for everyone that you meet, not just a few, but everyone that you meet.